Chuck Hagel on fighting wars with green energy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for Jeremy Hobson. In a few hours, Chuck Hagel appears in the Senate for a grilling on his defense secretary nomination. You've heard plenty about how his views on Israel will dominate the hearing, but he's also prepared to talk business. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports from Washington on why the Pentagon's energy bill might come up today.
The Pentagon powers some planes and ships on biofuels, and there are acres of solar panels on some bases. Jeff DeBelko teaches environmental studies at Ohio University. He says the green push even shows up on the hulls of warships.
It's even kind of what paint you put on the hulls because it lasts longer, goes through the water faster, these kinds of things.
But it hasn't been easy going green. Congressional cost cutters say the Pentagon shouldn't be buying alternative fuels because they're more expensive than conventional oil and gas. Andrew Holland is an energy policy analyst at the American Security Project. He also worked for Chuck Hagel as a legislative aide. He says Hagel would agree with him that cost isn't the issue, and the Defense Department is using renewable fuels for security reasons.
This helps to make it more likely for our warfighters to fight and win America's wars.
Holland says if you have fuel-efficient vehicles or solar-powered bases, you don't need as many fuel convoys, which are often attacked. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
A controversial Chinese acquisition of an American company is going through, despite objections to putting U.S. technology in Chinese hands. China's largest auto parts maker is now cleared to buy A123 Systems, a U.S. battery maker. Marketplace China correspondent Rob Schmitz reports from Shanghai on how the deal may wipe out American jobs.
For Chinese auto parts maker Wansheng, the timing of this deal was perfect. The U.S. government had just given A123 $129 million to develop top-of-the-line electric car batteries. And that's when the Chinese company swooped in, says Asia auto analyst Michael Dunn.
In the auto industry, you build it where you sell it, and demand, for the short term at least, looks to be bigger in China than in the United States. That would indicate that production at A123 Systems and other battery makers may very well shift over to China.
Along with American jobs, all lost because China's government is offering attractive incentives to people who want to buy electric vehicles. The central government gives electric car buyers a check worth $9,500. Last week, amidst a public outcry over hazardous air pollution, the city of Beijing matched that sum, resulting in a whopping $19,000 subsidy for people who buy electric cars. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in global trading. European markets are down. Asian stocks closed mixed. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P was down 0.4%. The Dow dropped 0.3% to close at 13,910. Traders today will react to Facebook's earnings report, which came in yesterday after markets closed. It posted revenue growth and beat Wall Street's expectations. New Labor Department numbers show jobless rates fell in three-quarters of the largest American cities. Later today, we'll get more fresh numbers on jobs, as well as data on personal income and spending.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Economic Development Authority of Fairfax County, Virginia, home to creative people and creative companies at powerofideas.org. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
It's international quiz time, so we welcome back Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Mark. So I take it you're ready and fully equipped for today's Globalist quiz.
I am prepared.
So we're looking at the 15% of Americans below the poverty line. In a global perspective, are those Americans still better off than what percentage of the total world population? 22%, that's option A. B, are they better off than half the world population, even though they're considered very poor in the United States? C, two-thirds of the world population? Or D, the poorest Americans better off than 80%? Of the world population.
Okay, I would say they are better off than two-thirds of the rest of the world.
That is not quite correct. It's an educated guess, though. I will grant you that.
Okay.
You know, if you're in the two-thirds poorest of the world, you make less than $2,800 a year if adjusted for purchasing power. Mm-hmm. The Americans are not at that level, so they're doing better.
Better, yes, yeah.
You're surmising. And that's really the interesting thing. You know, 15% in poverty in the United States means that they're still doing better in economic terms than 80% of the world population. That shows that it really depends on which society you grow up in, and we often forget how big the problem of poverty is altogether.
It is an interesting perspective. To what extent are people in the rest of the world, in the world at large, are they coming out of poverty? Are they entering poverty at a greater rate? How's that going?
Well, in a word, it's all about China. China has moved massive amounts of people out of poverty. It's even happened in sub-Saharan Africa. You know, the commodities boom has done real good there. Sub-Saharan African countries are growing by about 5% on average. Unless they really run by kleptocratic elites who are ruining their country, everybody else, for the time being, is doing much better than for a long time. And that's one thing to be grateful for, even though we can't count on Latin America, sub-Saharan Africa, and all of Asia continuing to roll out of poverty as dynamically as has happened recently, even though we need to very much hope for that.
Okay, thank you so much. Stefan Richter is editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com. That is an online international affairs magazine. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
And finally, if you're planning a visit to Naples to visit the cradle of pizza, bring comfortable shoes. Many bus passengers in Italy's third largest city are stranded because the transit authority is just about out of gas. Heavy budget cuts mean there's not enough money for all the buses to tank up. The transport operator warns, quote, "Due to a lack of fuel, our services are not guaranteed." In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Wikipedia relies on humans to write all of those entries, you know. A whole lot of human men, as it turns out.
And so I understand how we got here. I understand why so many Wikipedia editors are male. But it's not good for the encyclopedia.
Ladies, Wikipedia is looking at you. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We'll have a chat with the boss of the Wikimedia Foundation next time on Marketplace from APM.
Confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.